Yeah, let's make a start.
Let's make a start. Hello, welcome to the Mac Show. Yes, we're here to discuss all of the big things that have gone on in Apple, all the big shiz that's gone on, and everything that that we could make up as we went along. So there we go. Joining me to discuss the week in tech, fantastic panel, top of the shop. Adam, how you doing, mate?
I'm doing good. Hanging in there.
Okay. What's been happening?
What's been happening? Nothing exciting. I've been working my butt off. That's what's been happening.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. A lot of programming, a lot of podcasting, all that fun stuff.
Excellent, mate. Glad to hear it. He's getting excited, so I'm going to cut straight over. And Will Green is here. Hello, mate.
Hello, chap.
So 3 weeks now in a row you've been here. Well done, mate.
Three weeks. And I've been working hard on my various sort of scientific projects that we discussed in last Friday's podcast.
Okay, so we're talking teleportation here. How's it gone?
Teleportation, yeah, I think I've got it. I think
you're having a laugh.
No, I'm not.
Did you do any drawings or not?
Yes, I drew a flux caster, which is like a triangle thing with lights going around it.
But you're not letting on any more details on that because of the patent's not still pending, right?
Well, exactly. Yeah, well, yeah. The DeLorean part of it, which is time travel rather than teleportation, maybe I should talk more about a police box from the sort of...
No. You haven't got a police box because there's no police box. Now, the thing is, have you cracked it?
Well, I have. But what I'm saying is, if I got into a police box, you know, the old Doctor Who stuff.
On the old Port Road, yeah.
Yeah. It's sort of quite similar. Your listeners might know that I'm into sort of Buddhism and meditation and stuff like that.
Okay.
So I close my eyes.
Okay. And imagine you're in a phone box.
And I imagine I'm in a phone box, and I imagine I'm in a DeLorean that's shaped as a phone box. And ridiculous, isn't it?
The question, has it worked yet?
Yes, well...
How far have you gone?
To be honest, not yet, but shall we sort of try it out for the first time right now?
Do a live demo. Go on then.
Okay, I'm going to close my eyes.
I hope everyone's watching. Where were you when Will Green actually teleported? Go on then, give it a go. Holy shit!
He's disappeared.
Jesus Christ, he's only gone and done it.
All he's left is his shoes behind.
That's the last we've seen of Greeny then. I wonder where he's gone. Never mind, anyway. Moving on. James Rickard, how the devil are you, mate?
I think...
How was that for an...
That was impressive. Look who's here. Look at this.
What? Greeny. What the bloody hell are you doing there?
Sorry, it's a proven thing.
What? He can't... Has he got a microphone? Give him a microphone. Give him one of your earpieces.
Put that in.
Don't swallow it, Greeny. What the bloody...
He's looking at it like it's foreign technology.
What are you doing, Greeny? How come you're over there?
He's probably more worried about the ear juice.
We still... Well, your sodding shoes are still here, mate.
He has got no shoes on.
Your shoes are here.
That is weird. He's still got no shoes on.
So you've got a few wrinkles to iron out then.
Well, you know, if I sort of send the shoes by courier...
You want me to post them out to you? I've got a better idea. Why don't you frigging teleport back and get them, you bugger? Man invents teleportation and then suggests I go and get a courier.
Hasn't quite got the shoe situation out.
He hasn't quite got the grasp of this, has he? Oh, man. As you might guess, Greeny's not here. Greeny's in France. So there you go. Because his teleportation device worked.
It's worked well. I'll send him to his own unit now. I'll have to sort of with computers. So
you haven't got the bandwidth for two Skype lines out of your place, mate.
Mate, I know my internet is delivered on two camels once a week, and I have to spare it, to chop it up into nice bite-sized pieces.
I don't know if I can't guarantee that I've got five lines working either. So I'll try and fire up line one now then, because Adam was right. You see, his dream was prophetic. I think I have fixed line one, but we kept it aside for Greeny so that. So we knew you could dial in, but I'm not worried if he can't dial in. He's going to have to share, Mr. James Rickards. How the devil are you, mate?
I'm very well.
You've got a house guest. Well. You've got a house guest this week.
I have. He's come to see me, and it's not been without his trials and tribulations, obviously.
Yeah, and to be perfectly honest and clear with everybody, Will's teleportation device was actually invented by Flybe and was £38 plus insurance.
I can't believe he insured it. Be fair.
I gave him no, I figured he looked a bit sickly on the day I booked it, so I got flight insurance and medical insurance for him as well. he wasn't in top form, so I thought it'd be better off going getting him something.
Yeah, it's been brilliant. Other than him finding out what my local airport's like for 3 hours.
Yeah, you dick. So I packed Greeny off. And he posts a message in the James spoke to the message in the Slack room that says, "Look at me new Steadicam I've got." And this is like 10:30, which means he should have picked Greeny up in another 7 minutes. And it's like, I don't think James is in the car on the way to the airport. And you are getting him. Yeah, tomorrow. No, today. So Greeny has been to Limoges Airport for 3 hours, which is not a big enough airport to kill 3 hours, is it? Tell Greeny to try and dial in on line one, and we'll see if it works.
Dial in on line one, mate, if you can. And everybody else, stop using the internet. Because there's no more camels till next Thursday.
Next to him, it's Patrice. How you doing, buddy?
Doing good, doing
you,
good.
Don't Happy you night. Lying git. You're pig sick, aren't you?
Me?
Yeah, no. Sweden and Finland are going to get Apple Pay before you.
Yeah. I posted a picture in the Slack room even showing, I mean, it's ridiculous at this point. I mean, I think other than, what was the other country? I think Poland is the other country in the top 10 of biggest, economically biggest countries in Europe. And other than Poland, we are the only country in the top 10 that doesn't have Apple Pay. Poland is number 10, and we're number one. So I should just mention that.
Let's face it, Botswana is going to get it before you.
Yes,
and the Philippines.
That's not working out for you, mate, is it? I mean, that's what you get. You see, you start a world war, you don't get Apple Pay.
Yep, I think that's payback.
And I mean, I think it's wrong, because I think people have got very short memories, mate, and I think it's jingoistic and wrong. So just for the record. Before
apparently
anyone writes
Tim
me
Cook
in,
doesn't.
Before anyone writes in and tells me I'm a Nazi lover, I hate it. next to him, it's Sick Note himself, Brett Terpstra. How the devil are you, mate?
I'm good. What is Applebee? What do you say? Applebee's?
Applebee's.
Apple Pay.
Apple Pay.
Oh, Apple Pay.
New set of headphones needed then, dude. Germany hasn't...
Maybe someone with an accent that I can understand.
You're still sick from last week then, are you?
I'm okay.
What happened, dude? You seemed like you were a bit sickly, aren't you?
I don't want to go into details.
Oh, okay. It was
gross.
Yeah, okay. But are you all recovered?
I am.
Good to hear it, mate.
Back at yoga all week and started doing cardio, which I regret.
My wife said to me, "Do you want to come to yoga?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'll come to yoga. I'm all right. I can do a little bit. It's not a problem." And my wife goes to the gym regularly, and she is she's rather fit, and she killed it. She absolutely killed it. Not even got a hair out of place when she'd finished. And I'm panting and sweating like a fat bloke. It was horrible.
I thought I'd sweat less when I got good at it, but turns out I just sweat.
That's just men. Yeah, that's all right. And last but by no means least, Mr. William Green.
Hello, chaps. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can. We've got you. You can hear us, which means that line one is fixed. Well done, Adam.
Woohoo!
You're going to get your own TV channel, mate, and seances and stuff like that, aren't you? Greeny, how's France? You lucky bastard.
Well, I am a lucky bastard. It's absolutely glorious. It's
it's so beautiful. And the biggest thing I've noticed about it is the light in the morning is so very different to the light in England and the light in America that I think that we have so much pollution in our countries that it sort of clouds the beautiful sunshine. Whereas here, it's just this just amazing glow in the morning, and it lasts all day. I've never seen it before. Never sort of witnessed the sort of geographical transformation of light based on environmental impact. It's it's just amazing. Blows my mind.
I have an alternative idea of why that is. I think it's simply. It's raining all day in the UK, so you'd never get to see the sun.
Well, that might be it. It might be it. But it really is so very different. A lot of the artists from whatever country used to come to the south of France to paint because the light is very different.
I don't think south of France needs a lot of a cell, really, though, mate.
No, it doesn't. It needs no cell at all. It has cheap food, lovely people, beautiful vistas. It's got absolutely everything. It's like heaven on earth. Amazing place.
Git. Okay, fair enough.
Sorry, I don't rub it in.
Glad you're having a good time, mate. See you again soon. That week in Apple, what's gone on? Well, Patrice hasn't got Apple Pay, as we said, which we're not going to dwell on. It's okay. But there's a couple of stories around Apple Pay, which might be encouraging for Patrice, actually, it has to be said. The first one is that MasterCard has got plans to eliminate signature requirements, which could speed up the uptake of Apple Pay across the world. Quite how many countries still sign? I know America still does in Target and stuff like that, but...
They make you sign everywhere. They make you put your PIN in everywhere. They make you do...
So you got to put...
It's insanity here.
So except half the places you sign with your finger on a screen, there's no way you're going to write anything that looks like anything associatable with you. So everyone just scribbles, which is why it makes perfect sense. They would just say, forget it.
Right.
There's a great Planet Money is this podcast I listen to from NPR that's financial stuff. And they did a great episode about the whole signing thing and sort of what goes on behind the scenes, which is absolutely nothing. They talk to people who, you know, they draw a smiley face, or they even had people like, what can you draw on there? And still, you know, the payment's still accepted. It's only ever used if supposedly there's a dispute, which almost never happens. So the whole concept is completely insane.
I don't know another country. I mean, presumably Germany's chip and PIN.
For the most part, yes.
Really? You've still got some places you sign?
Yeah, it really depends. Some places don't have their card readers connected to the internet, so you sign there.
And what about contactless?
Well, it exists, but it's very rare, actually.
So you can't, I know you can't do Apple Pay, I'm not trying to rub it in, but so even with your card, you've got a PIN and a chip on that, and the RFID chip still won't. RFID chips.
I think at Koblenz, I have like two places where I can use contactless.
Jeez, no wonder you lot still like David Hasselhoff.
Here's the irony here, Ewan, is we're going to get contactless, or we're going to get chip and pin when you guys have completely gone contactless and like fingerprint. Like it's going to be like, we're going to always be like a decade behind.
And Germany will still have cash.
And Germany will still be living the half.
Gold bullion, yeah.
No, I mean, there's literally one place where I'm paying with my debit card right now that I think in about 2 weeks will stop accepting any cards at all. I don't think that would be feasible in any other country other than Germany.
Bringing this back to Apple, because I've been talking, you brought up something I'm totally passionate about. I've been talking about this on my show. The problem here with Apple Pay, actually all contactless payment here in the States, is that retailers have got zero clue about what they're doing. They're also fighting it because of, you know, they want all of the tracking and they're going to lose that. They don't want to pay the credit card fees, so they want everything to be debit. It's just a giant nightmare at the last mile. So it's like Apple pioneered this great thing and they got the credit card companies on board, they got the banks on board, but they, as usual, totally missed the last mile part of it. which is if consumers can't use it and if it, and use it in a way that's convenient and ubiquitous, then it just doesn't, it just fails. It fails.
Yeah.
And I think they really need to, and people call me to task on this because they think this is not an Apple problem. But the thing is Apple developed this thing. They are selling it as the future. And if they want to see it happen, I do think they need to invest some money in PR campaigns or whatever they need to do to get retailer adoption of this. And even if that means having to do some kickbacks or cutting back on fees, if they care about it being successful. The thing is I think they don't really, you know, they pioneered it and it's great. And they, I do think they believe it's the future, but I think they are not that invested in at least in the States, making sure that it, you know, that it succeeds. It feels like a lot of technologies that they develop and pioneer, they throw out there and then they just hope, you know, that they'll be adopted. But, you know, it, they haven't gone that to the last mile part of it. And that's fine. I don't blame them for doing that necessarily, but it's frustrating.
There's a great point from Deeppan here in the Slack room, chat room. He's saying we're pretty lucky in the UK because as card-based contactless payment goes, that came out first long before Apple Pay. So everyone was already in the comfort zone of using contactless before Apple Pay kindly flitted. That's a really great point. Yeah.
Oh, that's a huge point.
With Apple as well, I'm sure it works. I have never used it, and I've been obviously a long-term Apple user, and they started to market it quite aggressively. So, like my local co-op would have you can pay by Apple Pay, but who gives a monkeys? Because you just got your card. We know and we trust this way it works. You know, you just swipe your card, not even swipe, just hold your card onto the charger, and you're thinking, why do I want to do Apple Pay when there is this normal either chip and pin or contactless that works perfectly well and is well trusted?
When it works, it's awesome. When it's done correctly with my Apple Watch, and really the only place that I have ever go to, and I don't even go to that frequently, where it works the way it should, is McDonald's.
So the only place that Apple Pay works properly is McDonald's in America.
Pretty much for me. I mean, there's a few other places. The other places where it works really well is small indie retailers who are using, you know, the Clover payment system, or they're using Square. Square has great implementation for it.
Right.
But, you know, like any other place, like the grocery store or any other of these places, there's very few, at least for in the area I'm in. Now, I know other parts of the country, depending upon the grocery store. But and the other frustrating thing is Apple had a bunch of launch partners who implemented it and then removed it. The biggest being Home Depot. It worked great at Home Depot for about a month, and then, boom, it was gone. So that's my thing is, like, I really wish Apple would invest some money in getting the retailers, at least here in the States, on board and knowing what they're doing. Last example I'll give you, and this is just because this is a weird one. This is the kind of PR problem Apple has with this technology, is there was, you know, one of these, you know, it's one of these dollar stores. I guess it's a $5 store. I can't remember what it was. And some customer came in and told the cashier that Samsung and Apple charged a $10 transaction fee to customers to use contactless payment. And they believed them, and they put a sign on the counter saying, hey, if you use Apple Pay, by the way, you know, you're going to get charged $10 on your transaction.
That's
actually illegal. People used to try to do that with credit cards, and there are laws that say you can't add on the credit card charge when using credit cards.
No, this wasn't the retailer. This was just the retailer not understanding the payment systems. Like,
they were just warning you that
Apple and Samsung were charging us $10 per transaction to use. Yeah.
I live in a town of 35,000 people. That is, it's minute, and I can use Apple Pay at the gas station, at the liquor store, at the grocery store, at the pharmacy, except for all the banks here somehow give me cards for my accounts that are not Apple Pay compatible. I do not know what makes a card Apple Pay compatible, but I have not yet been able to add any cards other than like a Visa card, like only credit card to Apple Pay.
Yeah, that's the bank partnership.
What's the bank not authorising the card? Because that's the same with Barclays. My one card is authorised. It's okay. It's fine. But my business card, it won't allow me to. So
yeah, I can't use my Chase business card either. No. The banks, if you want to talk about another country where Apple Pay is struggling, it's Australia, because I believe they only have one bank that supports it. And a big part of that is that was a whole debate over the fees that Apple wants from the bank. I think they take 15 cents per transaction or per $100 or something like that is how it works. So, but the transaction fees down in Australia, the banks take less money than American banks do. So the cut ends up being like Apple's cut that they want ends up being a large percentage of that transaction. Right. So.
Well, in the UK, I might be wrong, and please shout me down if I am, when you pay contactless to, say, your local co-op or something, or Sainsbury's, with a debit card, the banks don't charge anything. Whereas right. when you pay whatever it is with your credit card, that's when the banks come in and take 1.5% or something like that.
Apple's taking money though on transactions, isn't it?
So the way the Apple Pay setup works, so what Will is talking about is credit card companies always charge 4%. It's about 2.5. It depends on how much volume you do, but it's anywhere from like 2 to 3% transaction fee, and that's charged to the retailers if you use a credit card at retail. With Apple Pay, what Apple has done is they've done the deal with the banks, and so when you there's a bank fee that happens, and again this is between the retailer and the bank, and Apple now takes a cut of the money that the bank is bringing in when they use Apple Pay. So their deals with the bank, and so that's on every transaction.
So what's the point? I mean, what is the point of using Apple Pay?
Over contactless debit card, yeah.
Yeah, if you've got a debit card, you quickly scan it, it's done, and the retailer gets charged no money for it, and you get your goods quickly. So why on earth would you want to do Apple Pay or any of the other? I'm sure there's solutions. I mean, what is the point? What is the advantage? Do you get extra insurance, or do you get some of the benefit for it or not?
It's convenience. It's cool. You know, I just tap my when it works, like at McDonald's, you tap the Apple Watch and you're done. I mean, that's it. No pulling out a card, no entering a PIN, no swiping a thing, no, and it's 10 times faster than the new PIN system we have here, which takes forever.
And it's more secure as well, because as far as I know, each transaction is a unique number or gets a unique number. So even if the terminal or whatever was compromised, that wouldn't really compromise your account.
In America, do you write checks still? Is that the quickest and easiest way to buy stuff when you go to a store and you write them a check and you've got your check guarantee card and it's all that? Is that right?
I have not used a check in 10 years, at least.
Oh, no, they use escrow for a bottle of milk.
I must say, since moving to France, I've never seen so many people write a check, and it can be for the pet, or it could be, you know, you're in a shopping centre and somebody's doing their shopping, a massive whole trolley full of stuff, and they write a check, and everybody's puffing and panting behind because there's signs for Apple Pay everywhere here in France, which is unbelievable, really. It's such a rural place, yeah. It's plastered on everything.
Oh, right.
Which is really, really impressive. But we still see old people writing out checks. It's just something they've always done and will continue to do until the next generation moves along, really.
Yeah. All I know is when I brought this up on my show, the biggest area that seems to have the best adoption is the UK. I mean, I just hear from everybody over there, hey, I use Apple Pay everywhere. It's awesome. It works. It's wonderful. You guys have a panacea of Apple Pay, apparently.
There's a difference between Apple Pay being available and Apple Pay being used, though. So James is talking about a ubiquitous opportunity
that.
There, but not actually probably being used that frequently, as opposed to in the UK, it might not be as far-reaching, but it is used very well. So,
right.
Yeah.
And it's positively encouraged, I think. When I was working in Birmingham, and Apple Pay came out, it just seemed to be everywhere. I mean, anywhere that had a self-service till, this is something that obviously means you self-scan. So maybe you've got 10 items or less, and you run it through the scanner. The Apple Pay sign would almost flash up. I mean, Boots is a chemist company in England, and it's massive. There's a Boots in every sort of high street, really. And they all, you know, plaster the Apple signs everywhere for Apple Pay. And it's one place when I was working there, I would use with my watch constantly, because normally you've got your hands full. So it makes quite cool just to hold your watch up and just, you know, beep and you're out. It made perfect sense.
Well, CVS and Walgreens, Boots, same thing. So.
Yeah. Well, and I've heard too that you guys are getting contactless in your credit cards. And again, we're just starting to get chip cards, which is hilarious.
I don't own a credit card, so I'll doubt to anyone else's knowledge, but I would have thought you could do chip contactless already, is my thought process. But chat room, feel free to jump in.
Forgive the pun. Did you miss that? I can't believe you missed that.
What?
Or was it deliberate?
Go on, what did it say?
You said, chat room, feel free to chip in.
Jump. I said jump in, but okay. Chicago Apple Store opens today. Gorgeous looking thing that it is.
Beautiful.
Angela tweeted out this morning, can't wait to bust the doors open on the new place. Johnny Ivers said that the new flagship store is about reviving important urban connections. Has Chicago been badly treated by Apple or something then, if they need to revive urban connections?
I think that's more of this whole philosophy that Apple stores are this congregating place, right? That's just playing on this fact that we're going to bring, it's going to be a place that people can come hang out in the city. It's in a gorgeous, beautiful place, and they can have personal interactions around this store. You know, it's this ideological thing, which is great. I love the message that Apple's giving. I don't know that that's what people are actually doing, like heading to their Apple store just to hang out, but maybe some people do.
Well, free Wi-Fi is the biggest pull for anywhere. Again, right. If I kind of think about where I was in Birmingham, you know, there's an internet cafe down the road. You just start charging, you know, £5 for 15 minutes for access. Yeah. Then there's the Apple Store. But come in, get a paper, make yourself comfy. It's all free.
I don't know if you're ringing up your buddy and saying, hey, let's go meet at the Apple Store and hang out at the Apple Store today.
Well, I would do that.
Me too.
But do you? That's what I'm
asking. I've done that. So, yes.
Bit far away from me now. That's the trouble. But otherwise, yeah, why not?
I'd be there
enough. Weren't you arrested as an Apple stalker or something like that? Just hanging around the Apple store?
I see what you did there, Will. I see what you did.
The only thing I can think of when I see the pictures of the new Chicago store is I feel sorry for the guy who has to clean all those windows. It's probably
a 24/7
job. It's basically when you're done, you can start over again.
Self-cleaning.
They have one of those robots now.
Self-cleaning glass, yeah. Now, I've spoken to a few people this week. I just did the Mount Straw Poll survey about this idea of going from an Apple store to the town square. And
right.
I'll grant you, they were all probably, they were all male for a start, not women. They were 35 to 65 in the people that I spoke to. And they all said, to a man, what a pile of bollocks. It's a store. It's just a shop. It's not a town square. It's not a congregating place, unless I'm going for free Wi-Fi, fair enough. But it's a pile of bollocks. It's pretentious shite.
Well, I can't consider any place that's selling me something to be a place I'm going to hang out. I mean, yeah, I'll buy a coffee and sit at a coffee house. But when I feel like the reason I'm supposed to be there is ultimately to buy a $2,000 computer, I'm not really hanging out, I guess. I don't see how they get past that.
So you're saying bollocks as well. We've got women in here.
I think you missed the point. You know, I think the whole today at Apple is all about, you know, getting people there. And obviously I've still got friends there who are running workshops, you know, every hour of every part of the day at the Apple store. Right. So you can go in and you can sit and learn about Final Cut and whatever else. So I think, actually, if you really thought about it, you could actually go to the Apple Store, take a seat on one of the very comfy wooden chairs, and sit and learn and, you know, have a great time.
Can you
so
just
let me ask you this, because that is happening at my retail stores, and I'm not saying this to be dismissive of the idea, but when I go into our retail stores, I see those sessions going on, and they're well attended. They are very well attended. I don't know how it is over there. What's the average age of the person attending that session over there?
60 to 75.
Yeah, exactly.
Well attended because they're people. They're old people. They can't afford the heating, so they go to the Apple Store.
Not the time.
It's. I mean, it's great, and I'm not being dismissive of that. It's wonderful, you know, to see that. But I mean, I think that's because those people have the time. They have some of the interest, and it's free, and it's a great place to go do that. So yeah, I mean, I think it works. It works at that level, but. The Apple stores are cool looking. I think really who a lot of that stuff was for is also the person who you go online to try and get your repair appointment and you notice it's, you know, 2 weeks out. So you decide, well, I'm just going to go down. And if you're stuck there for 2 hours, you actually have something to do while you wait for your Genius Bar.
My local Apple store, it's got a defibrillator. actually, it's not in the store, but it's right next door to the store.
It's true.
So they're considering it. But on a serious note, it's well that was a serious note, I suppose.
No, it is. There is a defibrillator at Solihull's store, isn't there? Not.
Yeah, there is. Yes. Yes. And my time as a creative, I would agree that most of the people that I taught were of a you know, sort of last of the summer wine, to put it politely. But I find it interesting that if you look at somebody like Amazon, so they don't really, well, as far as I know, certainly in the UK, they don't have Amazon stores. It's all done online.
Yeah, they're opening them though. Well, they're just getting started.
But what is the point of a store these days? I really don't understand what is the point of a physical store where you have to get in your car, you drive 10 or 15 miles, then you have to pay for parking, then you go in and then you buy your products or get your training or something else when you can get your training and you can buy your product.
It's contact sales. So if you look at things that are high value, people want to touch before they buy them, like cars and that kind of stuff. You're never going to get internet ordering of cars unless you've just got the Elon Musk reputation.
It's a showroom.
You're also going to struggle with clothing because people want to try clothes on. That's not been depleted anywhere near as badly as the rest of the high street. And food produce hasn't been as depleted as badly either because people want to touch what they buy before they get to the checkout. So.
I'm not super comfortable with a drone delivering my produce.
No, dropping it from
why hand. Not?
Right. Well, because the avocados, they always get smashed.
Well,
or the eggs.
I think there's another story that follows on from that, Will, which is that there's also an Apple store is still the most popular destination to purchase full-blown Macs. So people go to stores to buy their Macs. They don't tend to buy them as much online.
Oh, the old folk just go there to get warm. That's all it is.
I'll tell you, I mean, a lot of what I see, and I talk to people at my Apple store when I go down there because I'm curious to see what's going on. A lot of people, it's a showroom for them. I mean, they heard about the hottest new thing. They want to come in exactly like Yona's saying, touch it, try it out. And honestly, a lot of times they're walking out with something too. So they're going in thinking, oh, I just want to check this out. And, you know, they're walking out with something and maybe it's not the thing they came in for, but it might be a cable or an accessory or so. I mean, it does generate the buzz of the products generates people coming in. And I don't know about you guys, but every time I'm at any one of our Apple retail stores, it doesn't matter what time of day it is, what day of the week it is, that place is always packed.
Yeah.
And don't forget, you know, buying your Mac from an Apple store does give you certain benefits. So if anything goes wrong with your Mac, you know, everybody will know you bought it from the Apple store by your receipt. Mm-hmm. So that actually holds a lot of weight when it comes to having repairs, etc., done, possibly out of warranty repairs. It's always, I know one of the questions our managers always said was, did they buy it from an Apple store? Because, you know, that gives us leverage to be able to do more for the customer. Maybe it should, maybe it shouldn't do that, but it's certainly, well,
even over,
in
over,
my eyes.
Even over Apple Online?
No. That's given the same sort of gravitas. Definitely.
Right, okay. Definitely. So if you got it from a third-party reseller, you get less help from Apple?
Well, I would say it's kind of like, well, you know, are they supporting us directly? I think maybe.
Right. Okay.
Well, and I think here in the States too, if it's a recent purchase, a lot of those third-party resellers have their own programs. Yeah. And I think it comes down to a cost issue probably for Apple too. It's like, well, if you bought it from the third-party retailer and they're supporting it, then they want you to get your service there because, you know, then it's not on Apple's dime.
I also think it comes down to the receipt as well. Sorry to talk over you. I think it comes down to the receipt. You know, if you've got a receipt from an Apple store, we can take that barcode transaction and do more with it. And that's definitely a plus when you're going for repair or have a problem with your device. You know, have you bought it from Apple store? Yes, I have. Here's the receipt. Fantastic. We've got something, you know, point A to point B to go to. I think that's more why we prefer that.
But surely if you buy it off the Apple Store, as in the web version, as it were, you get the receipt and you get the same barcode. And when I flew over from Birmingham to
Limoges
to France, all I had to do was just show my little phone up against the scan thing, and I was in, and I was flying within sort of 20 minutes of check-in. So surely it must be the same with Apple, hadn't it? So if you buy it online and you go into the Apple store if you've got a problem, and then you show them the receipt with the barcode, it doesn't have to be physical anymore, does it?
No,
you can show it online. You can show your if you can show it. I mean, actually, if you've purchased an item, as you saw this week, Will, when I went in, I just told him roughly when I purchased it, he took my name and he found the receipt for me. So,
yeah,
it was fine.
I think it's not just a matter of the repair not happening on Apple's dime if you buy it from a third party. It is also if there's something seriously wrong and they have to exchange the device, then obviously Apple can't and doesn't want to do that, because that is on the third party then to do.
Yeah. The retailer is the one that has legal duty to sort out your repairs and so on if you do come across them. The only thing that bothers me a little bit with the retail stuff and the pretentious stuff that goes with it is just some of the stuff is just taking the piss. I was with Will. We went up to see some of the people at the Solihull store where Will used to work. We took line one in to see if we could get that fixed, which it behaved perfectly, of course. And on the way out, I saw a nylon strap for my watch that was Velcro, and I struggle getting ones that are large enough for my thick wrists. And this Velcro one worked an absolute treat. Fantastic. Thank you very much. And I said to Will, if these are 30 quid, I'll have a couple of these. I'll have the blue one and the red one, or the blue one and the black one, rather. And he went, yeah, they look all right. And then I went up to get one, and they're £50. They're nylon and Velcro. That is it. There is a $5 production cost on these things maximum, and they want £50 for it. And I just
said, is this the new Apple one?
Yeah, the new Apple one. And it's
those
it's,
are nice.
It's a nice strap. Don't get me wrong. And it works. The Velcro works well, and it works for people with thicker wrists as well, because more of it still grabs. But there's a bit of me was just like, no, I'm not giving you £50 for that, because I'm sorry, it is not worth the money. And I'm not doing it. And I walked out, and I'll stick with my old crappy watch that's got crud in it, because I'm just not paying that for a watch strap. And there's a bit of Apple that's going on there that's me going, you've always been premium, but you've never been rip-off merchants, and that's a rip-off, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I'll be honest with you, I would agree, you know, I'll fight Apple's corner at every step. But I went into the Apple store, which is about 40 minutes away from us, and actually got some hands-on time with the Apple Watch and the new iPhone 8 as well. It's the only place I can go to now that I can get some hands-on. And I felt a bit disappointed. I picked up the watch, and I, as you said, put the Velcro on, and went, yeah, It doesn't even look that nice, really. But I'm just remember thinking how much, you know, I think over here it works at about 59 euros or 62 euros, something like that.
50 quid.
And I just thought, ridiculous. Just so much money for, as you said, you almost feel that it's no money to actually create that, really. And it did feel like the first time I felt like I wouldn't buy it, whereas hands up, I'd buy everything that Apple do otherwise.
But I'm not running away from it because I haven't got the money to buy it. I'd be quite happy to spend that on something that was a high quality. If you said there was a leather strap at £50, yeah, fine, yeah, great. Sure. I got no problem with that. Or the leatherette one, or even some of the better rubberized type ones, I'll pay the money for. But that was just woven nylon with Velcro on it. It wasn't shit. It was well made. But it's not going to be. I'm sorry, but it's just not worth the money.
I'm going to defend Apple a little bit here. I don't have personal experience with the new woven strap. I do have, you know, this one, the other fabric one. I don't forget what it's made out of or whatever. But and I've owned lots of, you know, a few. I shouldn't say lots of, a few third party straps, and also iPhone cases. And I will only use Apple's leather iPhone case, which I thought was overpriced. But you know what? It holds up. I've had these on my phones for years. Same thing with the watch straps, the sport band, this one here. And they last, whereas a lot of those other straps that are less expensive, and I'm not saying a lot less expensive, they could be $30 versus $50.
Yeah.
You know, they break down after a year and start to fall apart and start to look bad, and you're replacing them. So
you've got the nylon strap there, Adam. Just hold it up to the camera. Okay, yep. That nylon strap is a decent quality nylon strap. I got no issue with that, with the buckle and everything. This thing wasn't as good a quality of that. It was thinner than that, and it had five pieces of Velcro stitched on the underside, and it didn't feel the quality of that strap.
Well, I would have to argue, you would need to see how it holds up over time, right? It's not just what it feels like in the store.
But Apple's not going to get the chance to prove it.
Right.
That's the problem. I'm a man with money who was prepared to spend money that day, and I walked away. And I'm going to do that more and more with Apple as it comes up.
I thought the same thing about Apple's, you know, sport band. I mean, it's rubber. Like, how could it be better than any other rubber strap? But the reality is it's 10 times better than any other rubber strap that I've tried.
But it's still not a £50 or $50 purchase.
Deep Pan in the chat room says, while it doesn't justify the cost, I wonder what the production costs of those metal lugs are on all of the watch straps. Nothing, mate. Pennies. Pennies. Yeah. You haven't been to China recently, have you, mate?
Oh, yeah. Apple's making a mint on those things, but I will argue that they're better quality than most other stuff, and I would assume that this new band is in the same realm.
The
that's all I'm arguing.
The place where we've got the new studio now is one of my customers, and they make gym equipment, and they buy all of their stuff from China. The only thing they ever get from UK suppliers is prototype machines, and they're going to stop doing that. And everyone's like, oh, you could think, oh, you bastards, you know, how could you do that? Every time they go to a UK supplier, it comes back wrong. Every time they go to a Chinese supplier, the quality is higher, and it comes back right first time. That's the difference. And they've said to them, look, just put a D-ring on the bottom. And the UK supplier sent it back with an eye bolt on for a lifting point. And it's just like, that's not what we asked you to do. We asked you to just put a D-ring on. That's it. And they didn't do it. And everything they did. And the guy was in a shoot the other day with me, or last week with me on the Friday. And he turned to one of the guys and he said, if you ever want anything made, don't get it made in Britain. Get it made in China, because it's right first time and it's perfect quality and it's the right price. And so Apple have definitely cracked China for that. They're not paying massive amounts for their stuff at all. Nowhere near. No. Bob Beach says, stop slagging off the old folk. Deep Pants, Matt Cass says he hopes that he didn't sound like he was doing that. Bob Beach was taking the piss, mate. You're all right, don't worry. Ferengi has confirmed that there's no October event in the works. Will we see an October event? Asked Luke, not Skywalker. I think we're all keynoted out for this season, says Ferengi. So that means there's nothing coming before the end of the year.
Right.
Yeah.
They've told us everything that they're shipping.
So they're just going to soft
release. What could they announce?
Well, no, but they're not going to. They're just going to soft release the HomePod, or they're not going to release it before Christmas, you think?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no. It'll be here sometime in December.
So they're not doing any kind of event for that? I think that needs an event desperately because they haven't got enough to sell it just on reputation alone.
I've never had an experience of one of these sort of AI interfaces. And when I was talking with you, and I've never had it before. I mean that in the nicest possible way. But I've never had that experience of an AI device, and it's blooming awesome.
Yeah, Will's talking about we've got an Echo, but yeah, go on.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's absolutely awesome, and I've never tried it before. And you can talk to it, and it tells you stuff. And it's really good. So if when I get my new flat on my new house and I'm this lonely old bachelor with a black Labrador, at least I can talk to it because the Labrador will say nothing. But the point to this rather ridiculous story is Apple are so late to the game, but they always have been. If you remember back in the day when there was... Oh, the first MP3 players, and what was the
Creative
name?
Creative Labs,
Cambridge,
were like four out before the iPod.
Yeah, and we're talking a matter of years, aren't we? We're talking 2 or 3 years, and then Apple came in and then just totally rocked it. And
right, they iterate. They always have people talk about innovation. They basically wait until a field is like a guaranteed, like there's obvious interest there, and then they just do it better. And they've always done a great job of that. I would say the iPhone was quite a leap in the smartphone that kind of led that. But in general, they're not inventing entirely new concepts. They're just doing them well.
Well, I suppose, yes. I mean, the new concepts, I suppose, of cars and AI and stuff like that. We're going through sort of a transitional phase, aren't we, between sort of older technology. But when it comes to sort of commercially available technology that will be available in a matter of months, they are behind a little bit. And I'm sure we've covered this before, but they're totally focused on the quality of sound from the speaker, rather than the AI part, which Amazon has totally got. I mean, you can use theirs as a phone, you know, the one with the screen and stuff like that. And what's Apple got? Apple's just got a speaker, really, that they can talk to with crappy Siri.
Yeah. They're also very focused, though, on the security and privacy side of that, both with HomeKit and with the Siri HomePod AI stuff, and that has held them back and crippled them to a certain degree. But I'm actually happy for that, because Internet of Things and all these other devices are a giant pile of, you know, like I have a security professional that says stop connecting shit to the internet, you know, because it's none of it's secure. And that came to a big head this week. I mean, these devices are garbage when it comes to that stuff, and people aren't thinking about that, and Apple is very invested in that. And yeah, it's holding them back a little bit, but I think it's the right tact to take, and I think they're going to get there, but it's going to take them a lot longer than their competitors who don't care about that stuff.
Yeah, but the thing is, when you look at the iPod, it's a great example, I grant you, Brett, but at the time MP3 players were doing it badly. There was virtually no storage on them. You'd get 2-3 albums, sure, at most, and that was it.
16 whereas, megabytes.
Yeah, the iPod came along, and all of a sudden there's 10 albums on there, there's 20 albums on there. There's a scrolling thumb wheel, which was a complete design change and which made it more functional. And I'll go along with that Apple does do that, and they did it with the iPhone, and they'll do it with other things to come in the future. I have no doubt of that in my mind. But there are no crap voice assistants out there. The Google Home Mini, GB Redneck in our Slack room has just got one, and he is blown away with that. And he's got an Alexa, he quite rated. But the new Google Home Mini, he says, is unbelievable for £50. And you link that out to an external speaker and you're away and running, it's off and running. The Echo itself, the full Echo, the sound quality of that is unreal. Is it going to be as good as the Apple one? Probably not, no. But in a market whereby everyone's done some really good stuff before you, you can't survive alone on sound quality and a shit voice assistant that doesn't recognise three quarters of what you say if you're not a US citizen. And that's bad. That's not going to work. Siri is going to cripple that device because it isn't, people are going to go, what do I want Siri for? Google Home's far better. Amazon Echo's far better. I'm not interested.
I completely agree.
Yep.
It's infrastructure as well with Amazon. You can, so with Amazon, you have to tie it up to your Amazon account. And if you're on Prime or just on regular Amazon, you can say, Alexa, deliver me some toilet roll or a piece of steak or whatever. And Apple don't sell toilet roll or steak, as far as I know. And so it's sort of the infrastructure that's based behind the Alexa that I think will win the game for them.
If they did, it'd be $50 a roll, mate.
But it would be really good toilet roll.
But it would get loads of shit off.
They would do it really well.
Yeah, one wipe, the eye wipe would be done.
The other part of this, though, is that there's so many people out there who are assuming that Apple cares about dominating the voice assistant market. And I'm not seeing them behave in a way or act in any way where that seems like that's a market that they really care about. They care about it in terms of they want to provide that service for their customers and their people who are interested in it and want to have the integrated Apple experience and care about those things that Apple care about. But I don't think they're looking at Siri and HomePod and going, yeah, we want to take out Amazon or we want to take out Google Home. I don't even think they care about that. They're happy with, and they've always been the company where they're happy with a higher profit margin and a lower percentage of the total market. And they're okay with that.
But if it was you and you had the choice between Amazon, so you're at home with your wife and your children, and you have all of this extra functionality that Amazon will give you with their Alexa device, or you can have an Apple system where you can buy music, and that's actually about it, I think. Which one would you choose?
I'd have both.
I'm getting a HomePod, and I have an Echo right on my desk here, and I never use it.
Yeah,
I think we're being a bit unfair on the fact that we're talking about a product that we've not even played with, seen, touched, and feel yet. We know we're going on a keynote which had a few photographs.
Well, no, hang on, James. James, come back to the point I made. My point was, you aren't going to sell the HomePod on a soft release. You've got to have a keynote to get that thing out there, because at the moment, with what you've shown, you are not making me want to buy it, and you have to change that. And I think that's true of everyone, and that's my point. It's not that...
Why do they have to make you buy it, Ewan? Because there's going to be plenty of us who are going to buy them and be happy with them. I think you're outside the market for that product. You're already well invested in the Echo. You're happy with it. They're not going to do anything to change your mind at this point.
Yeah, they are.
And remember, that's what retail stores are for, remember. They've got the retail premise to... I've been there firsthand. There was a big speaker that they released. Well, not Apple, but it was another third-party company. And it's like £1,300. It's this great big dome thing. And it's massive, and it vibrates the side. And you can get it on any Apple store. And I've never heard of it. And Apple obviously had it in their stores. And everybody just wanted to listen to it. You know, it was incredible. It's like over £1,000 for the speaker. But I'm saying is that it's one of those things that we haven't seen it, we haven't heard it. And I think the Apple Store is the best place to demonstrate it.
I'm not criticizing. I'm not saying it's crap, and I'm not saying it's a low build quality. I'm saying, if you want to sell it to me, you're entering a market which is very well established with some incredibly good performers out there, and you're going to try and do it without a keynote that shows more of the features to try and win people over. I think that's foolhardy.
I really want to know this. So are you saying that if Apple were to have a keynote event and show off more features of that product, you would be likely to buy one?
I haven't even heard one playing. I'm not saying I wouldn't buy one. No, I would buy one.
I mean, that's what you're arguing, that not having a keynote means that they're going to sell less of them, right?
Yes, definitely, because no one out there's heard it. And you think about Bose. You work for Bose, James. If you want to go into a Bose shop and you really want to test the sound quality of that equipment, you go into a booth and you hear it. Apple's got no booths. No one is going to be happy in the rest of the store full of old fogies listening to some little dickhead playing Kasabian out of this thing at top volume. Otherwise, he's not buying it.
I think you're going to be proven wrong about, you know, on that.
I'm happy to be wrong, mate, but what I'm saying is you will sell more units if you actually let me hear the damn thing beforehand, because you've done nothing to show me that it works.
Do you want to get into the supply chain part where they're just not going to have enough to meet demand anyway? So why would you?
I'm going to throw something out here. What about Apple simply delaying the thing till next year and then having a keynote?
Yep.
Maybe they decided not to ship it this year.
Oh, now there you go. Adam says definitely December. Patrice says no.
I mean, we don't know how Apple are going to show this. We know that Apple call all their new things downstairs the avenues. They're called the avenues, and we've got like an audio avenue, we've got a video avenue, and a soft sort of area with that does cases and stuff. So we don't know yet whether HomePod will bring a new avenue, which may have a booth very much like Bose does. I think we're talking about products that we know little about, and actually, I think, you know, Apple will market this thing very, very well. You know, whether you're absolutely right, you and I do believe that Amazon are doing an amazing job, and the price makes me want to maybe pay a bit of money and have a go. I haven't yet. I don't say that Amazon aren't doing a great job, because they are, and the price point is shockingly good. But what I do think Apple will do is they'll provide an environment that you'll go into, and it will be some sort of avenue redesign that'll let you listen to it. Because, you know, the best place, as we've already said, is to buy stuff, is to go to an Apple store and see it, pick it up, touch it and feel it. And it wouldn't be surprised if the avenues changed to compensate for the new HomePod, for sure.
It makes me laugh. I was all those years, and they kept banging on about what the avenue, and I haven't got a hell of a clue what they were talking about. So now I know.
What? Greedy.
Yeah, 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 we'll do that avenue then, shall we? Yeah, okay, I'll be there. What are you talking about? It's that's lovely. So thanks, Jim. I know what an avenue is.
I think there's other factors as well. Like you've got the HomeKit integration with it. That's great. But you've got other devices which are also now jumping in with Bridge devices and knocking those out. So the Hue Bridge is no longer required with the Sonos Play 1 that's just come out. That's got Alexa integration and Google integration built in. It hasn't got HomePod integration. Comment here in the chat room. Bob Beach says, I can't see a serious Sonos owner buying a HomePod at all, but I could be wrong. Deep Pan says it'll only be able to demo the sound quality. They won't be able to do the sound quality at an event. I get that. It's the Siri functionality, which needs a serious overhaul. And I've got a Sonos One, and I will be buying a home. Pod says Matt Casty. Thought he could just say that on the chat room rather than with it. But, yeah.
I'll say it here. I mean, the thing is my Sonos doesn't integrate with my Apple stuff, and I'm all invested in Apple, and that's who the HomePod's for. It's for the guy like me where I've got everything in iTunes. I use Siri all the time, and I love my Sonos. My Sonos is great for my movies and stuff like that, you know. But when it comes to music, I'm usually using Apple Music. And I can't do that stuff with voice. Alexa won't integrate with that stuff. So, you know, it's great that Sonos has all that stuff. And if I was an Alexa person, it would be awesome. But I'm not an Alexa person. I've tried Alexa. And it's just not for me.
Just hang on a second, because we've all frozen. Right. Sorry, Patrice, go on your point.
Yeah, I mean, to what Adam said, I have a Sonos system. I love my Sonos system. And I mean, when I was considering the HomePod, but when Sonos announced the Sonos One, I basically said, okay, I'm going to get that one because this simply looks better. And I investigated a little bit what the limitations would be for me. Obviously, I have a lot of HomeKit stuff, but there is, I mean, I'm already running a HomeBridge, which is kind of an open source hacker thing that allows you to connect HomeKit to other things. There is an Alexa integration, so I'm probably going to try that and see whether that works.
Is there?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't run HomeBridge.
Yeah, well, it's coming, right?
Say again.
It's coming, right? So is it out from Sonos, Patrice, or it's they've announced it and it's on its way?
The Alexa thing is already out.
The Alexa skill's already out, yeah. And the home bridge, the bridge, I can't remember what the bloody code number is for it, but there's a code that gets you the, that means you can bypass all the bridge devices for like Hue and that kind of stuff. Campion knows it. Ask him.
So I mean, the last point that I wanted to make is I think this really comes down to ecosystems and what ecosystem you want to be in and what you want to live in, right? And if you're all in on Alexa, then you have a lot of great options. If you, I would argue if you use Google for everything, Google Calendar, Google, you know, Gmail and all that stuff, you probably want a Google Home system. And, you know, for someone like me who's all Apple, you know, mostly all the time, I think the HomePod is going to be the option or that's going to work best for me. And I think it's awesome that we have now three really great choices in this area and they just keep getting better.
Yeah, so. But I think it's too early for people to be all in the voice assistant market. But this isn't the same as the iPod market where you've got a lot of other people out there who are shit and you'll come out with something that's groundbreaking.
Right.
Apple have got to come out with something that's groundbreaking over a market that's already well-developed and already doing good stuff, but no one's all in yet on any of
only,
these devices.
They but only if you're more. Assuming this is a market they want to dominate, and I'm not convinced that this is a market that they're looking to dominate.
I'm just saying, I don't see the point of showing a few pictures at the last keynote, then launching a device and expecting it to sell without another keynote to explain more about what it can do.
Yeah, it's a good point. And there's such a sort of a crossover between the Apple device, whatever it is, and the Apple TV, which for me, the two should be sort of combined a bit like Amazon have done with their, what's it called? The one with the screen and all that sort of stuff. Wouldn't that...
Fire the show.
Yeah. Wouldn't that make sense to take it in that direction? And that would... So for me, I'm totally bought into the ecosystem, as Adam says, when it comes to Apple. Like, all my films and all my TV programs, all my music is bought through Apple. And so that wouldn't work with an Amazon solution. But then the Amazon solution gives you a lot more a variation with the screen and everything else, so you can be in the kitchen and you can watch a film on it and so forth. Whereas Apple, what have they got? And I agree with Ian. What are they showing us? Nothing really, just like this tubey thing. And they're saying it's got a great speaker, but other than that, not much.
Adam, you're banging on at this in the chat room, saying this isn't a one winner, two loser situation. Apple aren't thinking that way. Not one of us, including especially me, gives a shit about them dominating a market. That's not what we're talking about. I'm just saying you can't put a few shitty pictures up and expect to sell devices.
Yes, which they is can. All they've they're done. Freaking Apple. They're going to sell a million of these things. Oh, millions.
Okay, right.
Millions. Okay. Guaranteed.
Millions.
I guarantee you they sell, you know, 3 to 5 million of these things in the first year.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, their customers, by and large, aren't the people watching keynotes. They aren't even the people reading some of the Mac blogs. They're normal everyday people who see a device that's going to work in their ecosystem. They're at the store, everyone's doing and eyeing. They see a few commercials on TV. They're going to sell. Like, it's not the reason Apple would need to do a more in-depth keynote is to make sure that all the media and bloggers know more about it so they can write. But I imagine anyone reviewing it is going to have one. And I don't think keynotes make the huge difference that you're inferring they do.
Mate, their keynote is watch the world over. I don't know what the viewing things are because they never would tell you, but there are tons of punters watching those keynotes. Tons. Yeah,
really?
But really? So
is YouTube, I don't even watch them all.
You know, YouTube adverts, and so is adverts on the side of the bus, and you know, there's lots of media that they can advertise through. You know, I mean, I'm excited by it. I'm generally excited by it, but I don't have any other device.
I'd like to be excited
like
by
it already.
I'd like to be excited by it, but I'm not going to buy it based on a few pictures.
No, but you're going to go into the store and you're going to check it out. And I know you said that's not the best environment, and I get that, but they do have that available to them, and people will do that as well.
iPhone 10 production woes are ending, but there's only going to be 2 to 3 million units available for launch day. Allegedly.
That's bad. Ramp it up.
Ming-Chi.
Allegedly.
Kuo.
Ming-Chi. Oh, okay.
Even if it's four times that, that's bad.
Yeah, it's not a lot. So if you've ordered an iPhone, when does it start? It's 22nd. It's 2 days, isn't it? 27th, right, okay. 27th, so
yeah.
Better be fast-fingered if you want one of these ugly things. I mean, brand-new things.
Typical pre-sales on past ones are 12 to 13 million units in the first weekend.
For pre-sales only?
Yeah.
All right, okay, so...
And remember, if you want it, you know, the best place to pre-order it, if you're not picking up from stores, to use the Apple Store app and make sure your Apple Pay is up to date.
So you got, right. So what you're saying is you got more chance of getting a Taylor Swift concert ticket than you have getting one of these. So
probably.
I think priority is definitely for Apple app customers, especially if you're using the Apple Pay to go through the process.
Excellent.
Yeah, and you can remember, you can go in the app. There's a couple things for people who really want to get their hands on this that they can do to help themselves. Using the app is one. Using Apple Pay is the other. Make sure your credit cards are all working and ready to go, that, you know, all that data is up to date. And then also for people who are on the upgrade program, we don't know yet, but you need to typically do a credit check. And last year they made people go into the store for that, which caused a lot of disruption. With the iPhone 8 launch, they, a week before, opened up a program where you could pre-qualify yourself online so that you could order online. And I'm assuming they're going to do that for the 10, hopefully. So if you're on that, you know, Apple upgrade program, you're going to want to make sure you do that. And I think if you're on your carrier's like upgrade program, you need to manage all that through your carrier. So you might want to check in advance. Because I always, every year I get stories from people who are frustrated because they're on some plan or program, or they were trying to check out and they didn't have their shipping address updated, and then they had to take time to do that and then they missed out. So in advance, yeah, go into the app, go into your account settings and make sure your credit card's there, all that stuff is ready to go. And then the last thing is that you can configure and save your configuration as like a favorite in the App Store app. So do that too, you know, like pick your color, pick the size, pick, have all that stuff ready to go. So it's just tap, order, you know, and done.
I do just want to say at this point, it looks like Will Green's, I'm keeping him in a cage. I'm not. It's quite
yeah,
nice
no,
room.
He is.
He is. He's in the basement.
It's got like one light bulb swinging from the ceiling.
Yeah, so it is. It is a cage.
Yeah, it's a lovely room, I promise.
He locks me up of an evening. And I said, James, can I come out? Can I come out? He says no. He locks the door, and that's that. And there's a letterbox. I can't show you here, but there's a letterbox. And he posts me bits of bread through the letterbox.
Are they buttered or not? Because if they're buttered, they always land face down, don't they? So.
Yes. No,
so he leaves you with it. If he lets you butter them in yourself, then that's a good prison, mate.
Well, sometimes if I'm really good, he'll slip maybe a spag bol or something.
Oh, thank God you finished that phrase off. Jesus Christ. If I'm really good, he slips.
He slips a spag bol under me too. So that's always nice. So it's good. Yeah, one day I'll escape. James has forgotten that the window was open, so I could always jump out, couldn't I? And run off.
Right. So now then, do you remember that we did a spider competition last month?
Oh, yes.
Yes, we did. If you would like a Spider 5 Express, fear not. There is another competition coming in November where you could win one. Darren Henley won the first. And here you go. If you're listening, Alex Velos, you have won the last one. So you've got the second one. The question was, what are the four colors in printing? What are the four primary colors in printing? Cyan, magenta, yellow, and key is the right answer.
And all they win is a spider?
And all they win is a Spider 5 Express, yeah.
I've got loads of spiders around here.
No.
That's because, what you do? Just gather them up.
That's
and
because
them
you're in James's house. Cellar waiting to get shagged by him later. That's why he's warming you up with the bread, mate, trying to get you on side. So, Alex, well done, mate. All you've got to do is send us an email to britishjetnetwork@gmail.com from the same address that you sent this one with your postal address on, and we will send you a Spider 5 Express, mate. Thank you very much. If you didn't win one in the first two rounds, don't worry. There is one more competition to go. You too can win it. All you've got to do is listen to the first episode in November, and throughout the whole of November, we'll be running the last Spider 5 competition. Now, for those of you that are donating to us, thank you ever so much for those that are. It's superb. I think we've now got a subscription button up on the website. So you can now subscribe and you can donate $5 a month, $10 a month, or $20 a month as a bronze, silver, or gold subscriber. And there's different levels of fun stuff that you're going to get depending on which level that you've got. And there's some exclusive content coming for the £20 the $20 a month subscribers. So check that out for us if you possibly could. Don't forget also to check out our other sponsors that keep us on the air, people like UK2, who are absolutely fantastic. Go to them for all of your web stuff, all the internet stuff that you possibly need. Co-location services, web diversion, domain names, you name it, they've got it. And there's offer codes at britishtechnetwork.com/sponsors. And also, Unico is coming. It's available in some places by you. I know there was 15 machines sold at the event, so 15 Unico machines are going to be out there in the UK soon enough, so that you can go and try and get yourself fitted for them. Thank you to Hoyer for looking after us as well, because we wouldn't be running one of the Skype lines without them. So there we go. Superb. Right, it's time for the cool thing. Start us off, Monsieur Metcast.
Oh man. I have one, but I have a feeling someone else is going to pick it, hopefully. So I am going to pick something, and unfortunately, this is going to be very U.S.-centric, so I apologize for that, but I'm totally enamored and fascinated with this. So did we talk last week about Movies Anywhere?
No.
A little bit?
No.
Okay.
I've read about it, but yeah, sounds fun.
Yeah, so there was a service Disney used called Disney Movies Anywhere, where if you bought a Disney film digitally on iTunes or on Amazon or wherever it might be, or Vudu is another service, which I think is run by Walmart, basically you could put it into this app and then that movie would be available to watch in whichever service, wherever place that you wanted to do it. They have now discontinued that because a bunch of the major studios got together and they're now doing this thing called Movies Anywhere. So now you can do that and all your films will be available on any of these services from, I think, most of the studios, big ones like Sony and
Universal.
I can't remember all the names that are in there. Yeah, Disney is now on there too. So I found out about it because I got a notification from Disney Movies Anywhere saying, hey, you got to move your stuff. This ultimately isn't my pick, though, because Vudu, which is a service I've never used, it's from Walmart. In the Vudu app, they have this thing called disc to digital. So I spent a long time taking all of my old DVDs and ripping them and converting them, and I have them in Plex and I have them in my iTunes, but they're, you know, just SD, standard definition movie rips. What the Vudu service has is they have this disc to digital thing where you can scan the barcode on the physical disc, either DVD or Blu-ray that you have, and then pay a small fee. It's $2 for to digitize a Blu-ray, or if you have a DVD, you can get $2 for the standard definition version, or $5 for a high-definition version, and then that will go into your Vudu account. But because Vudu is now linked with this Movie Anywhere thing, that also means that same film would be available to you in iTunes and on your Mac and everywhere else. So that is awesome because I have a bunch of stuff that I'd like to upgrade to HD. And unfortunately, you know, in the past, I've repurchased some films that I wanted a higher quality versions of. But what's nice about this is now I don't have to pay $19.99 to get an HD copy of a film I already own. I can use this service and pay $5 and get a high quality version. So unfortunately, I think this is only available currently in the U.S. and maybe Canada. But hopefully it's a sign of things to come and they'll roll this out internationally. I hope quickly. So.
Cool. Excellent pick, mate. Thank you. I don't know if we can get it in the UK. We'll have to do a bit of
deep. Yeah, not.
We can't at the moment.
But hopefully, again, it'll come quickly.
Cool. James, what do you have for us?
So I'm going to paste this in the chat room. So I'm a massive Kickstarter fan, and I love it. I love seeing products that make you excited and get you all enthused about the product. You know, the reality is that you might wait a long time for that product to come to fruition. And this
not
is,
as long as you wait at Limoges Airport, though.
Oh, harsh.
I'm not going to talk about that. I've waited a long time for this. This is a Steadicam Vault, and it will take a iPhone and it will take a GoPro camera. And the idea is that you've got these weights which count about at the bottom.
Right.
And this was a Kickstarter project started by the guy who kind of invented Steadicam. He basically started Steadicam on the original Indiana Jones phone film.
Yeah.
Where you saw Indiana Jones run across the drawbridge, the rope drawbridge, and he was actually running with this one strapped to his whole chest. So he's kind of put his name behind the back of this. And this has finally come to fruition, so I was really excited about it. I think initially it cost about $35. It was ridiculous. But now it retails at about £199. And as you can see, I've got my hand on here. As I go left or right, the camera is staying perfectly intact. I've only had it a few days, and obviously Will's here, so we've got some playing to do with it. But it actually seems to be just incredible. I've played with the Osmo before and didn't quite understand. It seemed to be far too many buttons to be depressed with. But I can vouch for this, and I've got a big review coming soon. So look out for it. It's the Steadicam Vault, and it's
available. That looks awesome.
It does look good.
Oh, look at this. Look, it's just, it's not moving. At all, you know, the actual camera. So I've got an iPhone 7 in here, and so far I'm just finding it just brilliant. Yeah. So look out for a good review soon. But a Kickstarter actually paid off.
I have a good. I had a good friend who had the Osmo, and he was not overall impressed by it. Unfortunately, it looked great, but in practice didn't.
So it collapses down, and you can take it on a day trip with you.
Yeah, it comes in a sort of a little bag, but. Because I was one of the first backers, I'm actually waiting on the leather pouch, which is kind of arc-shaped. And it actually, it all folds down quite neatly as well, which is just fab. And, of course, having the GoPro mount free with it as well, if you are a GoPro user, and obviously it's going to work really well for that. But and it's got sports mode. It's got all these lovely LEDs for stabilization and stuff on the back so that, it's working correctly. It's going to be a lot of fun, but I've got to really give it a good test. But, it all folds down beautifully, so you sort of put it in your bag and it's going to be no problems. Really excited to get hold of that. And, for Kickstarter.
Jim, who made it work? Was it you or was it your wife?
What's that, sorry?
Who made it work? Was it you or your wife?
I'm not talking.
Outed.
Price doesn't seem bad either.
What a fantastic toy.
Will, you're not coming out of there tonight by the looks of it.
Hey, I'm not kidding.
No, I know. Window's still open. He hasn't...
not coming out.
Yeah.
So Steadicam Vault costs how much exactly then?
I think it's £199, I think it is.
Oh,
it's $199 US, too.
Yeah. I don't know where that fits with the rest of that kind of technology. Again, being a Kickstarter backer, I got it from an absolute song. From what I can see, it would be something that I think.
How much did you pay? You can't remember.
I think it's about, honestly, anywhere between $35 and $40.
You paid $35 and $40?
Yeah, I was really lucky. I jumped on it. I've always been a massive fan of Kickstarter, so I'm very lucky to kind of find those early bird things quite quickly. So,
Well, I never. It looks a good £200, though. It did look very good there, actually, I have to say.
Yeah, well, I guess
it. Good. Superb. A lot of those Steadicam things cost a fair bit more. Patrice, what do you have for us, mate?
I hope that Brett didn't want to pick this. I wanted to pick CardHop from our good friends from Flexibits.
Oh, that was the one I was going to pick, but left, because I figured someone else would.
I mean, Brett, if you want to have it, I have an alternative.
No,
so.
I have an alternative as well. Go for it.
Okay. Good. So CardHop is, it's a really great contacts app. Flexibits, you might know from Fantastical, which is my hands-down favorite calendar app ever. I use it every day in the office, everywhere. And CardHop is, I would say it's up there with Fantastical. It's it basically connects to your Mac's contacts or your address book. So if you have Exchange set up like I have, if you have iCloud, if you have Google Gmail, whatever, your local contacts, everything just works out of the box. It gives you a little, basically a little window and a little tab bar icon, yeah. And you can just search for it and it will search all the fields. It will give you a really nice view. You can right there from the, basically from the contact, you can text people, you can call people, you can FaceTime, whatever. You can configure what you want to do. So the icons that show up, you can basically select which ones or, I mean, what they should do. I don't know. Skype people if you want to. I think it's supported. So it's really, really cool, and it's $14.99, so it's not that expensive for really the quality app that it is. And I'm really looking forward to where this is heading.
Soon.
Yep.
So it's going to go up soon.
Yeah, correct. That's so launch price is $14.99.
Wow.
That's good to know. So I will definitely buy it. There's a 21-day trial if you just want to try it. It's available on the App Store or on the Flexibit Store, so you can just get it right there.
Excellent, Mike. Good pick. Thank you very much. Brett, what do you have for us, pal?
Oh, so I've been super into augmented reality rulers lately. I don't know where that obsession came from, but...
Well, it follows on naturally from
adolescence. From real-world rulers.
From adolescence, yeah.
Sure, but...
You're thin, you can still find yours to measure it.
I tried five or six of these, and I found two that they serve slightly different purposes. One is Tap Measure, which excels at measuring a room. You can kind of stand in the middle of the room and then just tap the corners of the floor, including any like things that stick out. And then when you're done, you just tap the outline you've drawn and draw it up to the ceiling. And then it gives you the measurements of every wall and floor space and cubic feet. And then you can export that into like a 3D model that you can turn and move around and send to people. And then the other one, I'm sorry, two cool things. But the one cool thing is AR rulers. The other one is Air Measure, where you can just hold your phone up about 4 inches from something, tap a button, and then slide it across and then tap the other end of it in the viewport. And when you pull back, there's a tape measure attached to it in your view. And you can see, and then it has other modes too, where you can do like three-dimensional measurements and everything. I would get out like a yardstick and I would test these on the yardstick. And they're not perfect, but for the most part, accurate with it. Within a half an inch, which isn't bad for just waving your phone around in the air.
No.
And that's on my 7 Plus. I'm hoping it gets even better on an 8 or a 10. I mean, an X. How are we saying that?
Right.
10.
10.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, that I've been playing a lot with these. Tap Measure is amazing. But I have found I've had a little trouble getting really good accuracy. I don't know if there's a trick to it.
It does not work well in rooms with a lot of stuff in them.
Junk. That's probably my problem.
It works. You have to have a certain amount of detail, but like in this room I'm in with these like storage shelves around me, it has a really hard time finding planes. So, yeah.
Airplanes.
Not perfect.
Flat surfaces, Will. Flat another surfaces. Kind of
Thank you.
Because I would notice an airplane anywhere.
Right. Plus, there's all that data. You can just see what flight is overhead right now.
Hey, well, exactly. And if there's a miniature plane, probably Control Boy Jim, because he loves his, what are those called? Drones. So if there was an airplane flying around my spare room, I'd notice it straight away. That's a
good sign.
It's not hidden cameras.
That means you're still allowed in an Apple store.
He's gone to the toilet, hasn't he?
I was going to say, you.
So welcome to the British Tech Network. My name's James, and today we'll be looking at a few things.
Oh.
For example, AR tape measures.
And the battery ran out on my microphone.
Oh, shit.
I was going to go off on the Kentucky Fried Chicken follower thing.
I thought maybe, for me, the stream had frozen, so I thought you were dealing with that again.
No,
but that was just me.
No, it was just the battery went out.
We were stalling for time.
So I need to, what I need to do is get a little charger in here that's just got microphone batteries in that charge up during the week, and then they just come out for Friday, and then they go back in on Friday night. That's I'll be on Amazon after this. Will, have you got a cool thing for us, mate?
Yes, it's animal related.
I hope it's publishable, but go on then.
And it's to do with sheep. So I don't know where your dirty mind is going, but so I'm a big fan of retro games, and in order to run a lot of the retro games and also the apps as well, you need a PowerPC. However, there is a free app called Sheep Shaver.
Sheep Shaver? Are you
kidding? Yes, it's an awesome app.
Oh, God.
I'll second it.
It's fantastic. So so you can run Sheep Shaver, as I say, not Sheep Shagger, and it's an emulator that will run on your Mac and will allow you to play PPC based games. And so in some ways I've got two picks. So we have Sheep Shaver, and then the game that I really love is Escape from Monkey Island. It's an awesome game, and if you've never played it, you're probably not 40 like I am, and but I would really recommend it. I don't know whether you chaps have ever played it, but Monkey Island is just an incredible game.
Yeah, no, I remember that.
They have it for iPad, I think.
Yeah,
or they did. I don't know if it runs. I don't know if it was updated in the 64-bit purge, but
yeah. Did you find that, Adam? It's like a load of the stuff just didn't work anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, did it die in the purge?
So there it is.
Good mate.
Escape from Monkey Island.
Thank you, Adam, for putting those in the chat room. If you want to know anything that's been the cool thing or any of the stuff that people mentioned, then go to britishsetnetwork.com/chat, and you can see all of the links in there as our kind of little show notes thing. Following on from Brett's, really, my cool thing is the IKEA AR app. Has anyone else had a play with it yet?
Yeah, it's really good.
Oh, my God. So so I was working last week. I was out at Moorgate Station down in London, and I was sitting waiting for about 2 hours between an operation finishing and the next one starting. So I just sat, you know, messing. And I put a sofa and a chair on the station platform at Moorgate Station while they were doing the works.
Whoa.
And that's what it looked like. That's just a camera grab right there. The lighting is awesome on this thing. It looks really, really, really good. And
that's
I had a quick play. I was laying stuff down. I had a lamp out there and stuff like that. And I was showing people, and I was walking around it and looking around it 360, and it was absolutely brilliant. It really, really looked good. It was unreal. And then I got back and I was like, well, okay, well, that was a station platform. You know, I don't know how accurate it is, whether it's right for size or anything like that. So I did some tests, because we've got some IKEA furniture at home. And I got my daughter to sit on the IKEA stools that we have in the kitchen. So the first one on the left-hand side is me putting the chair down. And I was like, oh, hang on, no, that's the wrong size. That's no good. That's crap then, actually. But actually then I realized I'd got the higher of the two stools. So I got the same size stool on the right-hand side as the one that she sat on. And just based on the perspective there, you can see that that is bang on accurate, placed on the floor. It is absolutely perfect. And what I couldn't get over is the shadow underneath look.
Yeah.
The shadow is so subtly done. It's so good. It looks incredible. Absolutely incredible. But you can effectively place furniture anywhere you damn well like. And it is absolutely accurate to the size and shape of all of the IKEA furniture. And it does a brilliant job if you just take the time to go around the room and resize it. Even if you've got furniture in it, it does really, really well. It was absolutely brilliant. And everyone was impressed with the sofa, but no one tried to sit in it.
We do live in the future, don't we?
It is
when you
great.
See things like that, it's kind of like, that's the future right there, isn't it? It's great.
I wish I had that about 2 years ago when I started planning my kitchen.
Yeah.
Would have helped so much.
Yeah, definitely. Well done, IKEA. You've done a cracking job on that, and the scale of it is impressive. Seriously impressive. Right. Where can we get a hold of you, Adam?
You can find me, as always, at maccast.com or maccast on iTunes, and also check out the iOS show at theiosshow.com, and then maccast on all your favorite social medias.
Excellent, mate. James, where are you, sir?
I'm at Twitter, at James Rickards. That's R-I-C-K-A-R-D-S, James Rickards. And also RenderBots, this little robot fella here. Plan to do some more motion tutorials soon. So jump on my YouTube channel, RenderBots, and that's all good. Thank you.
I could do with some motion tutorials, definitely. It's an application morning that people motion. Stay away from, and they shouldn't.
It's great, mate.
Where are you, Patrice?
As always, every week here on the Mac Show, and I also have a podcast that I'm going to record maybe even today and release on the weekend. That's the Casual Kitchen Podcast at casualkitchen.net, and everything else I do on thepatrice.com.
Excellent, mate. Brett, where would you be, sir?
BrettTerpstra.com and TTScuff on all the social places. And then a couple podcasts over at ESN.FM, Systematic and Overtired.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. And last but by no means least, Mr. William Green, locked in his cellar in deepest, darkest France. You're a bit like Richard the Lionheart, aren't you?
Yes, I am a bit. Yeah. Locked in a tower.
In the deepest, darkest France, held by one of your cousins.
It's, so you can find me. Yeah. Oh, you know you're running a competition.
Yeah, yeah.
To win a spider.
Yeah.
I was thinking maybe I could do the same. But
you need better lighting.
maybe I could do the same, but with dead mice or something like that. So if you head over to britishmap.com, you could win a dead mouse. And there's lots of them from here. I kill them on a. You know Redfield out of Dracula.
Right,
he goes to spiders and stuff, doesn't he? And mice.
Cool.
And he's locked in a sort of cell. So I feel I've got a sort of affinity with Renfield.
So just to be clear, right?
Yes.
Rickards has made you sit on the floor behind his RenderBot sign.
Yeah.
So no one can see you. So you're sat in the dark.
I'm sat in the dark, and then he does this to me every night.
just sits there killing mice.
Yeah, he kills mice.
It's my new rat friendship.
Well, to be honest, I do get some food, like the bit of bread that he puts through the letterbox. But the most food I get, or the most nutrition, and it's one of the rewards from joining my competition on britishmac.com, is I will give you one of the dead spiders, mice I capture, but for the most part of my nutrient, it is dead spiders. But other than that, it's all good.
Deep Pan in the chat room says, maybe Greedy should be holding up a copy of today's newspapers as a proof of life.
Because this could be all pre-recorded, couldn't it?
It could, absolutely.
But you funny flags behind him.
Like
you
could
flags.
Like you could plan this shit. All right. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. We're going to be back again for the big show at 8 PM tonight, as normal. And then that'll be it. It'll be the weekend then. Oh, so I was a bit late posting the Mac Show last week. I forgot I hadn't posted it. It's all processed and everything and uploaded on the server, and I forgot I hadn't posted.
Good to know people were looking for it.
Yeah,
no one
no one wrote in and said, "Oi, where's the show?" It's like, lazy wanker. Lazy wanker. See you all next week. Thanks for listening.